Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Mariano Rivera and I are going to have a little talk about him stealing the theme song. Yeah, I know it's his last year and all, so I guess we'll let it slide, but, I mean, really.
I was going to say, he won't be using it next year. He'll be fine.
I'm just saying. I mean, I get a little uptight about it. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street at Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Brian McClintock joins us from the Little League World Series. Brian, welcome to the broadcast extravaganza we call our show.
Thanks, Steve. It's good to be here. I thought you were bringing me in to close the show or something. I got all pumped up.
You know what? And believe me, there's a
coming
temptation.
In from the bullpen.
We're going to go to the right-hander right here. All right, we're going to take care of that right now.
The cut fastball is a killer.
It drops 8 inches, babe. 8 inches, little 8-inch drop. Let her go. I want to get to where you are now. You get to the threshold of starting this, Brian. So for you, what is this like in anticipation after the buildup?
Well, you know, this is actually this is my first Little League World Series. I grew up in the area and just moved back here in April. So, you know, it's pretty exciting. It's a little scary. It's a little hectic, but you know, overall, it's really an honor to be back here and working with Little League, and really, you know, a thrill to see these 16 teams and all the coaches and all the fans come in here and really enjoy, you know, one of the best sporting events in all the world.
I mean, this is pure sport right here. I mean, pure sport. These are absolute amateurs. And one thing that strikes me is that there is a real camaraderie among the teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's done by design, but a little bit, you know, the International Grove where these teams can hang out away from, you know, their parents, away from the media, away from the attention and the big spotlight that they're under. You know, they can hang out and just, you know, be the teenage, you know, the preteens that they are, the 11 and 12-year-olds and some of them 13 that they are, and swim in the pool and play ping pong and eat Sloppy Joes and, you know, really get to interact with people from, you know, their colleagues and peers from everywhere. You know, being a teenage, you know, little leaguer is pretty much the same around the world. Whether it's the language doesn't really matter, the cultures don't really matter, you know, the kids are the kids and, you know, they get together and they have a great time. I mean, there's a great story already about, you know, the Tennessee team didn't have their luggage. They didn't have anything. They didn't have baseball gloves for their first practice, and Australia gave them their baseball gloves so they could go down and have some infield practice early on. So, you know, great stories already within days of them being together.
Media-wise, ESPN obviously is there. And ESPN, to its credit, does an absolutely brilliant job with this. I think as fine as any production there is in sports is what ESPN does with this. But how much other media do you have covering this, and how do you accommodate them, Brian?
You know, we have a couple hundred other media coming in from, you know, around the world. I just was talking with a gentleman from Japan who came in to cover the event. You know, we do everything that we can to make sure that they have every resource available to them to make sure that they can share the story with the parents who can't make it here and all the local communities who are really behind these teams back home. You know, we give them the access that they need and, you know, as many resources and materials. And, you know, that's really my job is to make sure that they can share that story of their team's success because it really is a community effort and making sure that that community can enjoy the coverage and really enjoy everything from their local coverage as well is really important to us. So all local media is certainly, you know, welcome with arms wide open here at the Little League World Series, and we enjoy hosting them, and we really do everything that we can to make sure that the local newspapers and local TV stations and radio stations have everything they need to share this story to their local communities.
there have been very few moves made in sports better than the one Little League made when they expanded the American field to 8 and they expanded the international field to 8 as well to make it 16 teams. What has that meant for the growth of the sport around the world because of that expansion?
It's been huge, and it's really allowed us to work with some great partners in the European Baseball Federation, Australian Baseball Federation, and really give them the excitement and give them the goal of working directly toward Williamsport. You know, for the first time ever in the 67-year history of the Little League Baseball World Series, we have a team from Australia playing here. The Perth Metro Central Little League is here this year. They're having a wonderful time. I've got to hang out with the kids a little bit. They're great. And, you know, we've just been able to really develop that program a lot with the help of Australia Baseball to really get them here. You know, now Australia has they have more teams than Japan does. So, you know, it's spreading the game of baseball. It's more than just Little League. It's really, you know, taking our national pastime and putting it in different cultures and really getting people excited about the sport worldwide is one of Little League's missions. And it's we have great partners to do that, and it's reflected here with, you know, really one of the true World Series events that you can really point to in baseball.
I was going to talk about the Australia component and also the expansion into Africa as well.
Sure.
It's amazing what one man can mean to an expansion. And when Nielsen made the All-Star team for the Brewers out of Australia, it seemed to have set off an explosion in that country that's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, and, you know, talking to them a little bit, Australia has a professional baseball league during our major league off season, and you know, it's really becoming an exciting thing. These kids are knowledgeable about baseball. They know the pros. They know, you know, their fans. They have their favorite players. They're not. They're educated. They know this game. They're excited about this game, and you know, Australia's really becoming, you know, more and more of a baseball country, which seems kind of weird on the face value, but you know, it's really a testament to the sport and how much fun it is to follow and to be involved in.
Now the expansion into Africa. What can you tell us about that?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, last year, you know, the team from Lugazi really captured a lot of hearts, and you know, we've been able to see a lot of passion coming from Uganda and from other African countries as well to really see that. See that growth as well, and we're missing the team from Africa this year, but you know, from that Europe and Africa region, we have another new country here from the Czech Republic, and you know, so it's reflective of how global the sport is, and we continue to see growth and continue to see good competition coming from countries that have never ever been to the World Series before.
Yeah, the team from Uganda was at the Spikes Cross Cutters game last year. And they were applauded everything they did, from handing out hot dogs to throwing out first pitches. Everything they were applauded and appreciated. And those kids loved it. You could see they loved it.
You know, they will go down in history as one of, you know, the most beloved teams in Little League Baseball World Series history. You know, it's a much talked about team, and we you know, it's one of those great memories that really Williamsport can only produce.
No question. The move from round robin play into double elimination, what does that mean for the efficiency of the Little League World Series?
You know, I think it really just makes it, you know, a lot easier for fans to follow and understand. You know, you're not worried about pool play or anything like that. And, you know, double elimination is so common, and it really gives our teams an opportunity to make sure that they get 3 televised games, and everybody's getting the coverage and the attention that they deserve. I mean, these kids have been working for months and months to get to this point, and you know, to get them here and to have the fans then be able to follow them in a pretty easy to follow bracket is just part of the overall experience to make sure that worldwide this is just, you know, one of the easiest to follow and easiest to enjoy events in all sports.
A couple of years ago, obviously, there's the team from Clinton County, and it bled over. There were a couple of players from Center County that were on that team as well. And the crowds, every time they played, were overflowing huge. what recommendations do you make for people going to South Williamsport as to where to park and what's the easiest way for them transportation-wise?
You know, we have free parking available here on site, you know, but we always do encourage, you know, there's shuttles being run back and forth from downtown Williamsport at all times. So, you know, parking into the parking decks in downtown Williamsport and taking the shuttle over is certainly an easier way to get in and out and can really sort of cut down on your travel time as well. But, you know, we do offer free parking here on site. And, you know, we just do ask that everybody who's coming out to a game, just make sure you give yourselves a little bit of extra time. You know, we're making sure that this is a safe and secure event for everybody. So, you know, everybody does have to pass through a metal detector on their way into the complex, and bags will be searched and all that sort of stuff. And that's just, you know, something that we do to make sure that we keep everything as safe as possible. But we would ask that everybody give themselves just a little bit of extra time. If you want to make sure you make that first pitch or, you know, the celebratory opening ceremonies that we have going on, just make sure you give yourself enough time to get through all that security aspects and not trying to rush through.
What kind of hours will the museum have?
The museum will be open. Let me just pull this up before I give the wrong hours. But the brand new museum will be open from, and of course, I'm
that's
not
one of the great things
about
technology.
They have extended hours.
Oh,
I can tell
it.
You that much. I know that they're open from at least 9 to 5, but I'm pretty sure, actually, I know they're open till 7 p.m. every night. So I think it's just 9 to 7 every day.
Right.
You know, feel free to check out our website, littleleague.org. Should have all that information for you on there. But I believe it's open 9 to 7 every day. It's a brand new museum. We just reopened it on June 15th, and it's, you know, it's a treasure of baseball collections. It's, you know, we have one of the only displayed complete Babe Ruth uniforms in existence. It's, you know, one of the top 10 pieces of sports memorabilia. We have great artifacts from the history of Little League, from Carl Stotz's family. We have great interactive, you know, games and tables and running tracks and playing shortstop at, you know, Lomity Field to catching a fastball from Mike Mussina. You know, there's all sorts of great interactions for kids to take part in and for adults to really, you know, see the story of Little League told through one of the most amazing renovations that I've ever seen.
One quick question about the Australian team for a moment, because you mentioned in a previous answer, Brian, that they have a league that takes place during our off season, because when it's winter here, it's summer there.
Uh-huh.
Well, that means it's winter there, right? It means it's winter there right now. What, if anything, have the coaches or the players told you about their road to get here based on the conditions they went through?
I mean, they've been together for almost an entire year. You know, the team came together in sort of early 2013, and, you know, they've been together playing games. Their championship game was June 5th. So, you know, while Canada and the Mid-Atlantic played August 11th, these kids have not played for 2.5 months. So, you know, it's a long road for them, but, you know, they're excited because they know each other so well. They've been, you know, what they lose in game, you know, in the lag between games, they've gained in, you know, staying together as a team and really building that camaraderie, which I think you need when you're on a plane for 24 hours and you're flying from Australia to Williamsport. I think you need a lot of camaraderie to get through that sort of ordeal and be ready to play. So, you know, it's completely different. I mean, they'll be going home and pretty much starting their spring ball pretty much right as soon as they get home. So their season's really just starting down there as far as that goes. And, you know, they'll be amped up for next World Series right when they get home from this year.
You mentioned earlier that you started it back in April. Is there anything about this job that's pleasantly surprised you so far that maybe was a little bit unexpected?
You know, I think what's really surprising is, you know, growing up in the area, I always thought that Little League was even bigger than it was. You know, that we really do a lot with not that many people involved. And, you know, it's a testament to the volunteers who donate their time. And, you know, really sort of all the help that we get from the volunteers, I don't know how we would do it without them. But, you know, we're a lean, mean staff. You know, we have a small operating budget. We give almost, you know, we give as much as we can back to the leagues to make sure that everything's as affordable and accessible as possible to little leagues around the world. And, you know, we don't, you know, we're not looking to make money. We're looking to help the youth of, you know, the world really, you know, develop as leaders and learn the values of teamwork and friendship. And, you know, that it's really, it really is a mission that it trickles all the way down through to, from our receptionist to me to Steve Keener, our president and CEO. You know, it's really, that's our mission, and it's evident. You know, it seems a lot bigger when you turn on ESPN every August than it really is.
Well, that's because they do a great job of covering it, as I mentioned earlier. I don't think they do an event better than they do the Little League World Series, to their credit. And I also like the fact that it's the common man touch. The Little League that is going to be at Montressor Park and State College, concessions, parking, is the same Little League you see in Williamsport.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's you know, it's just one of those events that, you know, ESPN does an amazing job from every standpoint, and you know, they love it. They, you know, they love this event as much as we do. So you know, it's been a great relationship that we've had for many years, and you know, when they talk about doing it, it's an honor for them to get this assignment. You know, so they're a great partner, and you know, we're looking forward to a, you know, a long relationship with them going forward as well.
Brian, it's great to have you home. It really is. Great to have you home. You're a great addition to the great group in South Williamsport, and we look forward to working with you many, many times.
Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. Thanks so much for the kind words, and you know, we hope to see everybody out at the Little League World Series the next 10 days.
Brian, thanks so much. Brian McClintock joining us from South Williamsport as they gear up for the Little League World Series. Next half hour, the Her predictions. I mean, I can't predict in my entire life of all the 12-year-olds I've ever been around, and he's going to try and do this with groups of them from different countries. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This August, when you think Sunbury Motors Kia, think awesome!
Awesome! Wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Yes, it's awesome August at Sunbury Motors Kia. How about brand new 2013 Optima Hybrids? Discounted over $4,000, starting at $23,758. Plus 0% financing for up to 60 months. How about the all-new, gorgeous 2014 luxury Cadenza sedan? Discounted over $5,400 and starting at $33,993. And if you're still looking for nothing during awesome August, Sunbury Motors Kia still has 0% financing for up to 60 months on all 2014 Serenos, starting at $23,499, and 2013 Optimus starting at $19,974. So visit Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com, where awesome August is happening now.
Must qualify with special incentives apply. KMF bonus cash and financing to qualified customers. Tax and tax extra.
To be followed by his Little League World Series Final Four. I mean, are you going to some casino in England we don't know about to lay some eye? What are you doing?
No, I've done this for years, usually just, you know, with among friends here in the building. But I thought this year
right,
I would share my Final Four.
I got it. Taiwan, Japan, always in the final. I know, I got it.
Yeah. You don't know that.
I got it.
You don't know that.
There's actually a team from Windsor Locks, Connecticut, 1966, the town right next to mine. And they won it all, the whole thing. 1966, Windsor Locks, Connecticut, they won all of it. And the team from Enfield, which would be, and I was 8 years old at the time, so they played them. Lost to them 3-2. It was the toughest game Windsor Locks had. You never know.
I mean, just because Chinese Taipei is averaging giving up one run doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to be in the Final Four.
Okay. I'm going to sit back and enjoy and just watch it because I think it's a neat event.
Well, I think it's a neat event, too. I didn't say I'm rooting for anybody. I mean, I think it's a neat event, too.
Oh, come on. You need to emotionally attach yourself to something.
You know, that's the beautiful thing about Little League. When I've gone up to the Little League World Series, I have not been emotionally attached to anything. I actually got to watch it because it was pure baseball.
And you like to get pins.
Well, I like to trade pins. And by the way, the ushers, 2 years ago, the guys that are working the entryway into Lomedy Stadium, they all got together and created different portions of an usher shirt pin. So you had to collect all four pieces of it to have the complete pin. That was the hot pin 2 years ago. Let me tell you something. Those guys were busy all week long with every kid that had a pin. I had a pin case with him.
Final half hour for this Wednesday coming up. But first, the news at the bottom of the hour with Sarah Bartlett on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola and buenos dias. I'm into the swing of things in the Little League World Series.
You are. I was thinking that for our guests from the region from around the countries.
And to our good friends from Australia, hi. All right, so.
They speak Australian there, don't they?
It's going to be a long half hour. And to our friends from Australia, this is how it is on the show every day. All right.
Welcome to
Great
summer.
Great to have you with us on this one. Yeah, welcome to summer. Well, tomorrow, we're going to change it up for you a bit. We're going to have at 3:35 tomorrow, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, talk a lot about the Pirates and the Steelers. Then Donnie Collins from Scranton will join us. Donnie will be talking about Penn State football. Friday, Ed Bouchette, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, and John Marks from Philadelphia, all on the show. That is what we have coming up. I think the next 2 days are exciting. Now, this half hour is exciting because the buildup to it has been dramatic. I mean, in the Edison Hotel on Monday night, the buzz was all about your Little League World Series predictions. I mean, and there was heavy buzz in the room. I mean, they barely wanted to hear about my Penn State football stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, nobody was paying attention when you were talking.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't sit there and brag about it if I were you. All right. So, first of all, your rant of the day. What is your rant of the day?
Well, I already did my rant on kickoffs. I mean, kickoffs going into the end zone is the most unentertaining football ever. Let's make it so if you kick it through the goalpost, you at least get a point. Make it something that I'm going to be interested in with a kickoff. But when you kick it off and kick it through the end zone, it's boring.
So you want a rouge?
Well, if you're not going to give me the collision on a return, then
you
give me
rouge.
Something else.
You want a rouge?
Yeah, what is that, Australian rules or is that rugby?
No, it's CFL.
Is it CFL? Okay. What you get a point. You get a point.
That's it.
I remembered it. It was usually on a punt though inside the 20, isn't it?
No, I think it's on a kickoff into the end zone.
I'll have to look that up. I watched a couple of CFL games. Didn't quite understand how they got that point. I thought one of them came from a punt.
The CFL is the third highest attended league in North America in terms of average attendance. Did you know that?
Oh, I can believe that. Like I said, I watched some of those games and they were packed.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's your rant. All right. Give us your final four.
All right. The final four, the two teams out of the international bracket. Listen, here's what I look for. I look for size and hitting.
Okay,
and teams that can hit.
That's great. That was terrific. Thanks so much.
And do they have a dominant pitcher?
Just give me four names that make it painless.
Oh,
all right?
Come on. This is my only moment, and you want to take it away.
Your moment.
Listen.
Fine. No, seriously, I'm going to go get a beverage, so go ahead.
Listen, Tokyo, the team from Tokyo is a very solid, well-put-together team with a lot of hitting. They've got good pitching, and in a double elimination tournament, I think it benefits teams that have two pitchers, maybe a third that's okay, that's better than average, we'll call it that, for an all-star team. I think if you went into a round-robin...
How good is the Tokyo Yokohama Little League?
The Yokohama Little League? I'm not sure.
How good is the Tokyo Yokohama Little League?
I'm not sure how good the Yokohama Little League is.
Well, they could have beaten a bunch of scrubs for all you know.
Listen.
All right, go to the next one.
Are you done now?
Go to the next one.
All right, the next one is going to be Asia Pacific, which is Chinese Taipei. They have dominated
about everybody
they play.
You picked Japan. You picked Japan and Taipei. I mean, really. Way to string the crowd
however,
along for 48 hours to get to that.
However, Puerto Rico is my dark horse there because they've outscored opponents in an average of 8-1.
How good is the San Juan Little League?
San Juan Little League? Well, they came into the tournament 5-1. The only loss they had was to Curacao.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the competition they faced to get there.
Well, Aruba, Curacao, St. Croix, St. Thomas. They actually had to beat, after losing to Curacao 12-1, they came back and beat them in the championship game 6-4.
How good's Curacao?
Moving on! Not good enough to make the Little League World Series. How do you like that? Listen, I know this is the easy pick when you live in this area, but Newark, Delaware is very, very impressive. And the young
it's actually Newark, Delaware.
That's what I said was Newark. I'm sorry, I didn't accent it enough.
I thought I said Newark.
No. They beat a team that came in undefeated and had scored 26 runs in a semifinal win. And they did it with pitching. Mm-hmm. Watch the Hardcastle boys, number 18 and number 23. They're going to be the players to watch. They go up in the final against Chula Vista, California, who just has a little bit of everything. A little bit of hitting, a little bit of pitching, and they can score runs. There you go. And again, there's a team that had to come back. They were 5-1 in the West Regional Tournament. Lost to Northern California 3-2, came back and shut them out in the championship game. You can wake up now. I'm done.
I'm in awe. I think next year I'm going to get refreshing adult beverages before this segment.
A rouge.
You put together all that research on 11 and 12 year olds.
Yes.
Why?
Because it's the Little League World Series.
It's a huge event. It's great, but I also think it's a fun event. I think it's fun.
It is.
And I think to them it's fun. And what I admire is the fact that these young people really appear to be oblivious to pressure. If they make a mistake, they seem to shake it off with relative ease. Like, I watched Starling Marte last night drop a ball in the ninth inning that would have been the second out in a game where the Pirates were winning, and then it turned out that drop led to him getting to second and then scoring on Alan Craig's base hit to tie the game, and the Cardinals eventually won the game in 14. He kept putting his head down. I mean, he was so upset with himself about how he played. The Little League World Series, I never see those kids get like that. And they mic the managers up, and the managers say the right things every time. Now, I know they now obviously they know they're mic'd up.
I mean, they know that. They have to have that uncomfortable thing pinned to their back anyway. But they still say the right thing, and they're positive, and the announcers are positive. You never hear a critical word about what's going on out there. That's why I say ESPN does a brilliant job with it. You never hear a critical word about you never hear a critical word about strategy. You never hear a critical word about a player. Never hear a critical word about the managing, any of that. And then when the manager goes out, or the, in this case, I guess it's the coach. It's not really the manager. Coach goes out and talks to his pitcher. It's always the right thing. It's the positive thing. You never hear a negative thing in an hour and a half.
And by the way, Noma was out helping learn a little bit, give him some batting tips along the way today.
Good. I think that's terrific. That he does that. And look, he's a father. He understands where that's coming from and working with kids. And I coached for 14 years and enjoyed it very, very much. And, you know, and the running joke always was, you know, I always had a lousy record and so forth because I believed in letting the kids play. I mean, now, did I try to win? Did I try to bunt or hit and run or steal a base? Of course I did because the kids love winning. And to be honest, some years I had really good years, and there were some years I had lousy years. And guess what? I didn't care. All I cared about was that the kids learned how to play and had a good time doing it. We laughed a lot. You know, I never yelled at a kid. Okay? I remember one time my wife got mad at me. She said, you know, you're yelling at those kids. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, I heard you yelling at the outfielders. I said, do you know how far away they are? She goes, what? I said, I'm yelling to them, not at them. There's a big difference. And she said, yeah. So it's a big difference of yelling to them. Yelling. Now, never did. I worked with great coaches, all the time, every step of the way, that treated the kids right. We had great parents. I only had one parent ever come up to me, one in 14 years, that questioned anything that was going on. And it had to do with the selection to a tournament team. And I said to him at the time, his son, I looked at him, I said, you know, your son's only 3 for 22 at the plate. I didn't really feel comfortable nominating him for a tournament team. I said, but if they put together a second tournament team, I said, I will put his name in nomination, which they did, by the way. And I did put his name in, and he did play. And to his credit, he played very well. But that's the only time. You know, the people got it, even though this is a competitive town. I had a great experience between Little League and Babe Ruth baseball. Babe Ruth is, for the uninitiated, 13 to 15-year-olds. I had a great time. The 15-year-old team may be the most fun I ever had coaching. You know, Guy Lewis at the University of Houston basketball used to say, I just roll the ball out. He was criticized for it. Well, that 15-year-old team, that was a blast. And I did the least amount of managing with that team. The least. Because they were just really, really good. I mean, my managing dealt with, hey, let's make sure he's not throwing too many pitches. Let's make sure we have somebody ready to throw. Maybe I'll steal here. Maybe I'll hit and run here. But for the most part, I just rolled the ball out and turned him loose because they were great. You know, and it's really fun when those kids come up to you years later and say, hey, Mr. Jones, remember? You know, that's fun. I had a great experience with it, And I see these guys when they coach and they do it and they say all the right things every time. And those kids are positive. And even though we're all watching and we think there's pressure on them, and there's a self-imposed pressure, I mean, it's the Little League World Series. I mean, is there really pressure on them? They're 12 years old. They're 12. And I'm a big believer in... And I always have been in not forcing a child to pick a sport too soon and allowing them to have fun with the sport and to try multiple things out. You know, don't just stick them in something right away. You know, don't just force them right. I'm going to force him to play basketball. He's a basketball player. He's a baseball player. He's a wrestler. You know, let them love it. because nothing great comes out unless a person has passion for it. You can have somebody that's really good at it because they have a natural skill at it, but they're not going to be great unless there's passion behind it. You can't have passion behind anything unless you like it. You can't. And I think that that's a prerequisite to greatness, and it's a prerequisite to excelling. You know, is that you have to have obviously natural skill, but you have to have a passion to back it up for it. That passion means you love it. And, you know, I've always had a big belief, you know, that let kids be kids. We're too organized sometimes. I know we're talking about the Little League World Series, but we're too organized sometimes. When I was growing up back in the 20s, when I was growing up
with leather helmets,
we played, I mean, but we played sandlot everything. We played sandlot baseball. We played sandlot basketball. You know, we played touch football on the street under a street lamp. You know, and we just picked up teams. And that's what we did. We were always doing something. I would say growing up, 80% of what I did when it came to, quote, like playtime, whatever, revolved around sports. And we had people that were oriented toward that in the neighborhood. And everybody, and we did everything. You know, we'd shovel out a backyard and we'd play street hockey in the backyard. You know, or else we'd flood it and get a puck and, you know, we'd have fun with it. It was, and sometimes I wonder if we're too organized now. Organized is really good, whether it's Pioneer basketball or Little League. I mean, Little League, because I always played Little League. Always did. I loved it. But we still had time to play sandlot. It wasn't always just, okay, go to practice. You can over-practice kids. Okay, the worst thing I think you end up with is a burned out kid.
When it stops becoming fun for the kids, that's the problem.
Well, that's what I mean. They're burned out. You know, they're kids. They should have fun. Now, it's because, look, the rest of your life is going to be dead serious. Okay? I mean, it's going to be really serious because remember that old saying I've had when I've talked to kids? I've always told them it doesn't matter where you are in life when you're 15, because it doesn't. It matters where you are when you're 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75, because at all those years, life is dead serious at that point. Now, we all have fun. He and I have a blast doing this show. Obviously, he and I got a chance to do a show and do a job that we love. I mean, so we have a built-in advantage when we talk about such things. I mean, neither one of us grumbles going to the mine to do a show. We love showing up every single day. But when you get to be 25, 35, 45, 55, so forth, you're paying bills, you're paying mortgages, you're paying making car payments, you know, you're going to the grocery store and the whole thing. When you're 15, somebody else is doing that for you, and you're showing up at the table and saying, hey, what's in the fridge? All right? It's not as serious. Let them have fun. We'll wrap it up on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Patriots Nation right now on Pins and Needles, because Tom Brady limped off the field today in a scrimmage with the Bucs. What's going on here? Mike Reese from ESPN.com Boston tells us more.
As Brady stayed down on the ground, he had his left leg bent a little bit, and he just rubbed his hands down into the knee area to the lower part of his leg. So maybe it was his knee, maybe it was something in the lower leg area, but it was enough for him to come off the field.
Well, we'll find out.
I may be looking for a new quarterback to draft.
Well, oh yeah, I forgot. In the end, it's all about you. So there you go. Brady got banged up today, banged up a knee, went to the Patriots practice bubble, left the practice field. We'll see. Virginia Tech's on the Penn State football schedule in 22 and 23, right?
Correct. Blacksburg, I think, is first.
Yeah. Well, you're going to find all of the marquee series.
will start in the other stadium first. You're asking, how do I know that?
No, I was just wondering why it was that way. But, yeah, how do you know it, and why does that happen that way?
It happens that way because the Big Ten 9-game schedule, 5 home games are in the even years. So that gives you the flexibility in the even years to play a marquee team away.
Well, at least you hope in 22 and 23 it'll be a marquee team anyway.
Well, no, but I'm saying, though, when you put together a, you know, the name team on the, you know, I'm just saying, when you put together what you think is a marquee series for Penn State, they're going to, you know, the away game is going to be the even year.
Isn't it scary?
Games, 5 of them. And what?
No, I was going to say, isn't it scary working that far ahead with the way leagues have changed recently?
Well, I don't think Virginia Tech's coming in the league, do you?
No, I'm not saying they were.
I think that part's settled down. I think you have to, you know, football's always been a sport where you scheduled out to begin with. And I think you schedule that team first, and then you fill in your other two spots after that. Because you're going to have to, you know, take 22. You're going to play at Blacksburg at Lane Stadium in 22. So that's 9 years away. Well, when you play in 22 there, the other two games, around it, because now you know what the requirements are for the other two dates.
I'm just thinking in 10 years. Really how, in 10 years, a lot of things can change in the in these leagues.
Oh, when Penn State schedules Syracuse in 8 and 9, Syracuse is a 10-win team under Paul Pasqualoni when it was scheduled. When they got on the schedule, it's like, oh my goodness, it's not good. It's the way it is. And San Diego State's on the schedule in 2015, and that will be here. It'll be a one-gamer. Tomorrow, Donnie Collins from Scranton on Penn State football, and Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Safe trip home, everybody.